Shall we commence our meeting tonight with hymn number 304, 304 in our hymn book. We are never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong, Glory to God, Hallelujah. 304, and stand as we sing together. Gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We do thank thee, our God, and praise thee tonight for gathering us together in this inclement evening under the sound of thy word. We thank you for those who have braved the elements to come out tonight and to listen to the word of God. We pray that thou would encourage every heart that is found here tonight. And there are those who impossible for them to come through illness or other circumstances. We pray that thou will give them their portion from thee tonight. We pray, O God, that thou wilt be with us and that thou wilt bless us in a very special way. We pray, O God, that we might know your presence right from the commencement to the conclusion. We pray that thou wilt take thy servants up and use them in the ministry and song tonight. And we pray that their ministry and song will be blessed of the Lord. We pray that thou wouldst do them good, that thou wouldst meet their need, and that thou wouldst undertake even tonight. And grant that thy presence will be felt here in this meeting. We pray that thou wilt draw strangely near to warm our hearts with the things of grace. Lord, to draw us ever closer to thy wounded side and to speak to our hearts from thy word. We pray for those who may be here unsaved. We pray that tonight will be the night of their salvation. Tonight will be a night of nights in their experience when they will turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for salvation to be wrought here in this meeting tonight. We pray for devil-defeating power. We pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that in everything thou wilt have the preeminence. Remember those tonight who have special needs. Those, O God, who have sorrow in their hearts. Think of the Barnes family at this time. Pray for Sidney that you'll comfort him. And remember Stanley and Eric and Heather and all the family circle. Think of Sidney's daughters in particular as well. We pray for comfort and help even in these days. We pray that they may know the peace and presence of God. Pray for others, O God, that need our prayers. O God, we ask for those who are ill in hospital. We think of Mrs. Patterson, especially as she lies so low these many weeks now. We pray that you'll draw near to her family and to her herself. We pray for comfort and grace in these situations. Lord, we pray for thy strength. We thank thee, Lord, that thou wilt canst draw near. We pray that thou wilt draw near even tonight. Be with us now with thy presence and do us good. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. And ask the trio to come and minister to us in song just now. Thank you.
Cattle on a thousand hills, pleads for us and always will. Who was it died and yet lives still? Nobody but my Lord. Who makes us happy though we've been sad, loves us even though we're bad. Who answers prayers and makes us glad? Nobody but my Lord. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Master. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord. Who was it hung upon a tree? Suffered shame for you and me. Who was it died to make us free? Nobody but my Lord. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Master. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord. Who owns a mansion in the sky? Share it with us by and by. Take us to his home on high. Nobody but my Lord. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Master. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Master. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord. Who can do? Nobody but my Lord.
Just do the two of them together.
Yeah, okay.
This piece we're going to do is actually the first piece that Nessie and Susan and I ever sang together. And I think it's about 3 years ago, our first engagement was here. So we sang this lovely piece, He Touched Me.
For that beautiful ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts this evening. We're reading the Word of God tonight in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 10, Gospel of John in the 10th chapter, reading together from the verse 7. John chapter 10 and the verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in at night and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. Ending our reading at verse 28, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Hymn number 270, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. 270 and page 285, we will stand after the introduction and sing together. bid you welcome tonight again. Sorry you're not in the warm church, but we've done our best to get some heat into the building. Hopefully it's a bit better than it was this morning, and that we can enjoy our fellowship together in the gospel tonight. We do bid you welcome in the Lord's name. And I just mentioned church committee. There is just this matter we need to deal with, so can we meet immediately after the meeting or as soon after as possible in the creche, please, for just a few moments. Could I just mention the fact that there is a youth rally in our Martyrs Memorial Church tonight, and Brother Johnny Armrod is speaking there at that youth rally at 8:45 for all young people this evening. And then could I mention the Little Sunbeams and Parent and Toddlers and the Iwana Club are off for half term tomorrow. Tuesday night, the children's meeting is on as usual, 7 to 7:45. And the prayer meeting and Bible study, continuing on the prayer life of Elijah in our Bible study. And the praying this week is especially for our youth and children's work. And so we want you to remember those requests, and let's come and seek the Lord for our youth work and our children's work on Tuesday evening. And then Thursday night, the Christian Workers Academy continues here in the church hall at 8 o'clock. On Friday is our church dinner. And if you haven't signed up, you need to sign up tonight. You're really at the last moment. So do please get these forms, these menus, get them back either to Mervyn Barr or Brother Robert Catterson with payment tonight. It's Friday night here at 6:45 for 7 p.m. start. Having a program afterwards with our brother David Warwick, who's a great gospel singer, of course. And we look forward to enjoying fellowship with David as he ministers to us after and during the program afterwards. So do come for the fellowship and the food on Friday night at 6:45 and say, get that matter sorted tonight if you possibly can. Appreciate all the work that Mervyn and Robert have been doing on this, getting it all put together, and we thank them in the Lord's name. And then on Saturday night is the youth reach. I was told this morning, I said it was board night, as much as you would be bored, but it's board game night, so I'm glad I have these people that can correct me, you know, keep me right when I make mistakes, as I do quite frequently. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Saturday night at 7:30 is the board game night, and of course then our sister Hannah will give the challenge from God's Word as well. That's for year 7 upwards on Saturday evening. And then next Lord's Day at 10 a.m. the Sunday School and Bible class, and 11:30 is our family worship, followed by our communion service. Meet around the Lord's table for all who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. The evening time in the gospel is our family and friends night service. Brother Dr. Ron Johnson will be along to share with us his testimony, what the Lord has done in his life over the years. And he will be giving that story in the gospel next Sunday night. Our sister Mrs. Ruth McRoberts will be along to sing. So do remember that. Do invite others to come. Invite your friends and your family. That's what it's all about, to get others in under the sound of the gospel next Sunday night. There will be refreshments afterwards. Group 3 are responsible for those next Lord's Day evening. Could I also say a word of sympathy to Dr. Barnes and Brother Eric and the family, and Heather also, and all the family in the death of Eric and Stanley's brother's wife, Maureen. It was a very sudden call from this scene of time into eternity, into the Lord's presence. And so we sympathize with the family. Pray that God, the God of all grace and comfort, will comfort your hearts, and especially Sydney at this time, and his daughters, that the Lord will be gracious to them. The funeral service is in Dundonald Methodist Church on Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Do remember the family in your prayers at this time. And then could I just mention also that we do have the needs of our work in general, and pray that God will bless his work in every aspect of it in these days, and that his kingdom will be extended for the glory and honor of his great name. These are all the announcements. Just the final one is the retiring offering for the Missionary Council tonight. And those who are here on Tuesday night were greatly challenged by our brother Chris Killen, the work he does under God with his wife and also a team down the streets of Dublin and other places across this land. And maybe you didn't come prepared on Tuesday night, but you want to contribute to that offering, well, you can do so at any time, of course, and put it in, just mark it for our brother Chris. It's a very worthy cause and a very challenging work he's doing amongst those with addictions. Probably you or I, there's very few maybe in this meeting, if any, would be able to do that work. But our brother is equipped, and but he needs the Lord's help, and also he needs of the practical things, the finance to support him in the work, and his wife's in it with him now, being supported by our mission board as well. So please remember that need, and if you can help in any way, that would be appreciated. We'll have the brethren from New Hope, that's the home down in Dublin, they'll be with us in our March family and friends night, the last Sunday of March. They'll be along. Brother Leighton Kelly is speaking, great man of God who works alongside Chris, and other men from the home will be along to testify on that night. And you'd have opportunity to give to that work and to the home in Dublin. There is a charity now set up. Mr. McRae is involved in it, and they are providing finance, as we heard, for some of those workers down there. It's tremendous need. A lot of those people haven't been paid. They're just doing voluntary, but now they can get some payment for the work in the home that they're doing. And so that's a really good charity that's been set up through Reverend McRae and others alongside him. So remember that the needs are great in the Lord's work with home and abroad. Continue to remember Brother Calvin. We've been speaking to him during the week there, and he needs the Lord's guidance and the Lord's help. And as a family, pray that the Lord will open the door of service for our brother in the days to come, now that this door of service has closed at this time. So please remember our brother, his wife and family. And they appreciate all the prayers, the folk here in Ballygan. They wanted me to convey that to you, and so I'm conveying it to you tonight. Hopefully he'll be up to see us at some stage, but he's living away down in the sticks at the moment. But we try to get him up into civilization, you know, and bring him up here at some stage. But anyway, you'll see him, no doubt, as time goes on. We're going to join the singing of 265, keeping our seats for the first part as we sing. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. 265 on page 283, and say, remaining seated for the first part.
Thank you.
bow together in prayer. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You'll find my text tonight in John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The subject tonight is the greatest security of all. You will know that security is a big thing in this world at large. A big thing for people in their homes. A big thing for people as they travel. For people in the workplace. And as they go about generally through the course of their lives. You often have heard it said that the world is a dangerous place. And in so many ways, it is sadly true. And there are so many examples of how dangerous this world really is. An elderly man, a great man of prayer, used to pray in the prayer meetings when I was ministering on the Shankill Road for many years. And he used to pray like this: there is no security like the Lord's security. And people used to sort of smile and even laugh when he prayed that prayer. But he really meant it. And he put it into practice because he used to walk up the Cliftonville Road from the early morning prayer meeting and the late night prayer meeting at the height of the troubles. And so he put it into practice in his own life. He would never take a lift. He always walked up that road, amazingly, at 12 o'clock midnight on a Friday night and on a Friday morning when we had the early morning prayer meeting in the dark mornings. There's no security like the Lord's security, and how true it is. As we come to God's word just now, we come to consider one of the most tremendous promises that can be found in the Bible. Of course, the value of a promise depends entirely upon the ability of the person who makes it to fulfill it. Someone may come to you tonight and say, "I will give you £500. And you will laugh. And it would be justified in doing so because you know that person and you know that they don't have £5. Never mind £500. And so there's not the least possibility of them fulfilling the promise. You see, everything depends on the character of the one who promises. And I want you to recognize that the one who makes this promise here is none other than the eternal God himself. It is he who says, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Here is the pledge of personal security. It is an extraordinary commentary upon world conditions today that in spite of the fact that through the benefit of the government and through private enterprise in insurance, you can insure against almost any imaginable risk from the cradle to the grave. And yet, never have been people so fearful as they are today. An insurance company will offer to insure almost anything. If you're prepared, of course, to pay the premium. And of course, it takes considerable risks in so doing. Yet in spite of all the tremendous cover that there is, the fact remains, there has never been a time when this world of ours feels so insecure. You only have to speak to folk in society today and to discover how fear grips their lives. The whole world is conscious, as never before, of its insecurity. Nobody knows what a moment will bring. To forecast the future would be bold indeed. And this world, which has provided so much cover and so much insurance for its inhabitants, nevertheless, it totters with a sense of its own danger. And what a paradox that is, and yet it is so true. A preacher on one occasion, he was traveling on an aircraft from Los Angeles to Chicago and was speaking to one of America's leading atomic scientists who has a knowledge of power that could even destroy a lot of this universe. He spoke to him and he said that what mattered to him was not that he knew the secret of atomic energy, but rather that he was a man who had a wife and three children. And he said this frankly, "I am terrified of the future." Here's a man with all of this knowledge and all of this scientific ability at his fingertips, and a man absolutely overcome with fear in his heart, dreadfully afraid of what the future might hold. Fear in the hearts of men and women and young people throughout this world. Are you overwhelmed by fear tonight? The fear of the future, the fear of tomorrow, the uncertainty of what will happen? Are you swallowed up by this dreadfulness, this awfulness of fear? I turn to the Word of God tonight and I ask myself, what is this book to say about this dreadful problem of fear? What is it to say to me about security for now and for tomorrow and for eternity? There is a message here tonight. The message of God's Word. God's Word speaks to us in a world of insecurity. God's Word speaks to us in a world of uncertainty. And Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Stop for a moment, my friend. There is no answer in this world to all of the insecurity. There is no answer in this world to all the fearfulness that men and women and young people are overwhelmed by. But the Word of God gives us the answer tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ in His person and through His work is the answer to the need of the human heart and to your need tonight outside of Jesus Christ. The Word of God gives that answer to the deepest need of human experience. And thank God it's found in these words of Scripture tonight that we refer to in John 10 verse 28. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I want you to see tonight, first of all, the character of this security. There's all the difference between life and existence. Everyone exists, but the Christian, the person who is truly born again of the Spirit of God, really lives. You know the difference between a stone and a plant. I hope you do, otherwise your wife will not trust you to do much gardening. The plant has vegetable life. You know the difference between a plant and a dog. I hope you do, otherwise I don't think your wife will be asking you to take the dog for a walk. The dog has animal life. You know the difference between a dog and a man. The man has mental life, physical life. You know the difference between a man and a Christian. The Christian has spiritual life. And those of us who are saved in this gathering tonight, we have life, we have spiritual life, life more abundant, and life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Life on a higher plane. Life on a different level. Life more abundant. Jesus said, "I am come," we've read it tonight, "that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundant." Life with a capital L. And my dear friend, tonight in this meeting, without the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God that life is offered to you, you are without Christ and without hope. You are going down that way to a lost eternity. Thank God there is life more abundant than Jesus Christ. Life on God's terms. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. My gift to my people. In other words, there is a sphere of life that you and I can know nothing about until God gives it to us. The highest life and purpose of God for every man is that by faith man should reach out and take that gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, there was a time when man did know that life. There was a time in which man knew that fellowship and communion with God, but that was broken by the fall. The Bible tells us of that in Genesis chapter 3. And so man at that particular juncture in his life, he turned his back upon God. And as God had said would happen, he died. He did not die mentally. He did not die physically, but he died spiritually. And the moment he turned his back upon his Creator, something happened. And the thing that happened was the thing that God said would happen. He lost life, spiritual life. Oh, he retained that physical and mental capacities of life. But the thing that he lost was life on the highest plane. And ever since that day, men have been born into sin and darkness. Death has passed upon all men, the Bible says. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead, why? Because they are cut off from God, having no life. No, there's still life at a lower level. Man may possess some degree of morality, but yet he has no spiritual life. He has no spiritual life. But the security that is offered to you tonight is this spiritual life that is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. I give unto them eternal life. The gift of God is to bring man out of the mere physical and mere mental realms into the realm of spiritual. Into this security that is found alone in Christ, eternal life. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Somebody asks, well, that's all very well, this life which is a new nature, a new experience on a higher level. But how long does it last? What does the Word of God say concerning the duration of this life? I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. But let us be clear that this life does not guarantee immunity from storm and tempest. It does not guarantee that we will not have sickness, our death or sorrow. But my friend, it guarantees eternal life for those who trust in Jesus Christ. Though man may lose 1,000 things, in fact, he may lose everything that he could have in this world and he could hold dear in this world. He could lose his home, his friends, and his family. But he still has this life. For the promise of God is, he shall never perish. What a word that word never is. The security which God offers to men, women, and young people today is life eternal. They shall never perish. Though all the forces of wickedness, though all the powers of darkness are arrayed against them, those who possess eternal life will never perish. Scripture remains true. This is the security which God offers. The character of this security. Then I want you to think about the conditions for possessing this security. That's the second thing. In our mind, let us just strip ourselves for a moment of the little comforts we enjoy, the little things in life that are around about us. Let us strip ourselves for a moment of these things. And no doubt, a great deal of sentiment is attached to these things. Things that become precious to us, even as we become older, they become more and more part of our lives, our home, our family. Children, grandchildren, those who are dear to us in the course of life. But just think for a moment. Are these really the things of which life consists? There is something deeper than all of that. Isn't it what I've already said? Just suppose the treasures and the home all go. All these things are taken. We're left absolutely alone. That is the time when a person wants security. I want you to know something tonight, to think about it, that this that is offered to you tonight is something more that can be offered to you in this world. Something more than the precious things of life. Something more precious than all those things that are round about us. You see, these bodies of ours will become weak and feeble. The time will come for us to go from this earthly scene of time. And that's when we want security. That's when we need it most. Going down into that valley of the shadow of death. Is there security there? As we face the last great enemy. Jesus Christ says this, I give to you eternal life, and you shall never perish. These words are music to our ears tonight. Here is someone offering us security against life and death itself. We shall never, never perish. What are the conditions of that life? Of this much, we can be sure, we can apply the test of conduct. If someone has the life that we are speaking of, there is something which will single them out. What is it that will single them out? Well, look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They follow me. My sheep, says Jesus. They belong to him. How can we know that they are his? They follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They are true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is, a follower of Christ. Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Are you truly a disciple of him? The evidence for which I shall watch, if he or she is concerned to be different from what they've always been. He or she is longing for a deeper purity of heart, longing for holiness of life. If I could go into a home somewhere, I could find there a mother and father and children who before they start the day, open the Word of God and read it and pray together. I would say to you there is evidence of life. A person or persons who are truly the Lord's. They've gathered together as a family. They're praying together. They're reading the Word of God together. They're committing their home to the Lord. There's evidence of life there. And when a person has life, they're different in the home. They're different in the workplace. They're different in their whole walk and manner of life. Their tastes and desires are completely altered. They have life. Have you got this life tonight? This new life in Jesus Christ? Here's another test. Not only the fact that we have the evidence of life, but also the kind of books we read. Do you read the Word of God? Is that central to your reading? You see, there's life in this book. This is a life-giving book. The Word of God. Is the Bible a closed book in your home? Is the Bible a closed book as far as your heart is concerned? What about prayer? Do you spend time in prayer in the private place, in the church prayer meeting? My sheep, he says, they follow me. Are you following Christ? The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. Are you hearing his voice tonight? Again, what do you do 5 minutes after church is over? You can always test that. The service is over and people are going from the service. How do they leave the service? If 5 minutes after it, there's frivolity and jest and laughter, I'm not suggesting we should not have joy, of course, but there's something wrong somewhere. If we've heard the voice of God, if there's real life in our hearts, my sheep hear my voice. Has the Spirit of God spoken to your heart? Have you been gripped by conviction? You cannot rest until you're right with the Lord. Some people listen to the Word, but they never hear it. Hundreds of people, thousands of people listen to preachers across this world. Even millions of people do so. But they never hear the voice of God. If you're following the Lord Jesus Christ right through, you will gradually discover that your friends begin to leave you and the path is less and less crowded the closer you walk with Him. You're following Christ. You're following Him. Are you following Christ tonight? They follow me, verse 27 says. They're not put off by trouble. They're not put off by testing. They're not put off by trials. They're not put off because someone they loved has dropped them. They follow Christ. And that path leads up some desperately steep hills. And sometimes it goes into desperately low valleys. But the Lord is with them. They follow Him. And Jesus says, follow me. That's what He says. Are you following Christ tonight? Once there was a little boy to whom a stranger appeared one night in the dark, and looking at him, he saw that little boy was looking up. He was holding on to a string. What are you doing? Said the man. I'm flying a kite. The little boy answered. How do you know it's there? It's so dark. The boy replied, I can feel the upward tug. I can feel the upward tug. And I want to say to you that many a time in our lives we could say that even through Christian experience, we felt that upward pull. It's greater than any downward pull, than any drag that other people could make upon us. The real lifting up of God's Spirit, the call to follow Jesus, the evidence of life. Have you got that tonight? Oh, it is our prayer. It may be so with you. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. And then I want you to see in conclusion tonight the certainty of this security. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said again. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is this sure? Or is it merely a dream that I'm talking to you about? Is it merely that some people are overcome with emotion or are easily gulled into these things? Or is it real? Let me say, as long as there is a Jesus Christ, I shall live. And remember, He's eternal. Have you any security equal to that? Can any insurance policy provide that sort of security? I think not. Even though you read the finest print, you will not find it. You will not find it. As long as there is a Christ, I shall live. He's the eternal Son of God. I would rather know that all the future and all the present and all the past is sheltered and overwhelmed and overshadowed and guided by this mighty living Christ. 51 years ago, by His grace, I was saved. I put my life into the hands of Jesus Christ as a boy of 11 years of age. It's been wonderful ever since. Oh, there's been many ups and downs, sometimes more downs than ups. But always, in my failure, He's been my strength. And though I strip from my life the precious things, deep down I know there is that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall never perish. Death and hell and men and principalities and powers can never touch the security I have. Paul said this in Romans chapter 8. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What security that is. There's not a security company in this world. There's not a police service in this world. There's not an army battalion in this world. There's not a government in this world can provide such security. And I say these words with absolute conviction. You can know that it's absolutely real tonight. There's absolute certainty here. There's absolute assurance of the promise of eternal security. The issue of this message is life or death, heaven or hell tonight. For us in Adam, it's death. As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There's a matter of eternal life here in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would come and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, that you would only trust Him that He might be your Savior tonight. Is it to be the Lord Jesus Christ or the powers of darkness? The answer to that question is up to you tonight. Every moment you choose life or death, Christ or Satan, heaven or hell. Which is it to be tonight? I would beg you to face up to this matter. Face up to it tonight before you leave this service. And face up to this great truth tonight. And here is the greatest security of all. It's found alone in the person and work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The greatest security of all. That old man had it right. The Lord's security is the best security. And he had it, friend. He's in glory tonight. I conducted his funeral, but he was secure. I was with him when he died. He died in peace because he had the greatest security of all. How will it be with you, my friend, in your death? How will it be with you in the passing of Jordan, the swelling of Jordan? Well, that you might come to Christ tonight and know the greatest security of all. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight. We'll turn in our hymn books to our closing hymn, which is the words of 293. This is what you must do tonight if you're to be saved. It says in the words of our hymn tonight, 293, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light. The way of the cross I miss. 293. On page 294, we'll stand as we sing. And could we say tonight, if you're here not saved, we're here, your servant, for Jesus' sake, to point you to Christ tonight, the one who can save your soul from eternal death. I trust that you'll speak with us as you leave and make sure you're ready to meet the Lord tonight. Let's stand and sing this hymn together. Come and speak to us. If you're troubled about your soul tonight, please do speak with us as you leave the service. Father in heaven, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will abide with each one, now and forevermore. Amen.